eating Scotch potatoes across the country, around the world, and on the internet. I'm Kevin Carr.
And I'm Jared Zimney, and you're listening to Fat Guys at the Movies.
That's right. We got a new guest host again, another guest host this week to talk about the just the truly awful, awful movies they're throwing at us on the end of the summer, early fall. That's what you get. That's what you get, Labor Day. We get movies winning the box office with $10 million. That's what's going to happen this weekend. So
yeah, it's pretty outrageous.
Before we find out about Jared and who the heck he is, let's go to just some contact information. You can get us at fatguysatthemovies.com. If you aren't following us on the web, you might be downloading us through iTunes or whatever, because we know actually more people do that than actually visit the website. But go to the website, check it out. You got some cool stuff there. You can go to iTunes and just search Fat Guys at the Movies. We show up. The podcasts show up. All the podcasts on the Fat Guys networks. You can also go to facebook.com/FGATM. And like us. Again, we're absolute narcissists, and so we want people to just like us and love us and, you know, tell us we're awesome. And then you can email us at fatguys@filmschoolrejects.com. You can give us a voicemail at 740-205-6456. No new voicemails, just creditors looking to get their bills paid. That's not happening.
No.
We can also get us on GetGlue and tell people that you're watching us with. You'd be like, I'm listening to Fat Guys in the Movies with zero other people. Because nobody's really going to the Get Glue. That's so hard to say. Get Glue.
I have no idea what it even is. So
you go to Foursquare, just make up a Fat Guys in the Movies location and just start tagging it. That's fine too.
Sweet.
That's up to the audience to do that, because I'm lazy and I don't do Foursquare at all.
Yeah.
But anyways, welcome, Jared. Tell us a little bit about yourself, who you are and why I have you on the show and how you know me and all that good stuff.
Well, I am a co-host of Movies in the Man Cave with my brother-in-law, Cody. We're just a video blog site based out of West Fargo, North Dakota.
Ooh, represent North Dakota.
Yeah, what up?
I used to be on the air in Fargo. Actually, in Fargo and then in a nearby location that it was, I think Detroit Lakes is in Minnesota, but it was a nearby location that would actually publish my reviews. So I have a long history with Fargo, North Dakota, just from watching the movie.
We got some tie-ins, yeah. So, and I used to hear you on the radio and everything, and then I got into the Twitter thing when I started doing the reviews, and I found you on there.
That sounds a little creepy, but
super creepy.
Sure, go on.
and I found you,
and I'm like, hey, could you be my friend?
Please, I listen to you every week. So that's how I'm here now.
Awesome, awesome. Well, thank you so much for being on the show. Like I said, it's I started doing Fargo Radio back. It was probably about 7 years ago on KFGO, which is their AM station, the big AM station in Fargo. Is it called the Big One?
I've never heard it called that.
Okay. It must be the Cincinnati station I'm on, which is actually a big station. I mean, KFGO is big for Fargo, but I mean, it's...
Yeah.
There's a lot of space. I love North Dakota. It's a gorgeous state.
Yeah.
I've been there quite a few times. but it's not what you call densely populated.
No. No, you have Fargo, and then you head west about halfway through the state is the next biggest city. and then on the rest of the way over is Montana. So
yeah, which is not known for big cities either. I mean, you got to go 110 miles an hour to get to like Billings, Montana, and
exactly.
Helena.
Yep.
But again, I love that area. I love that area of the country. I've been all over the country. I've been to the East Coast, West Coast. I've been to down south. I've been to Alaska and Hawaii. I love the West, and God knows why I live in Columbus, but I do love the West, and I like cold. I don't live up there because my wife doesn't like cold weather. Columbus, Ohio is bad enough.
Yeah,
but
yeah, we get
no
pretty gnarly weather up here.
Gnarly.
I'm trying to sound, you know,
like a
West
surfer
Coast,
dude.
You know?
Is there even a body of water near Fargo?
Still a lot of lakes. That's what we get.
That's right. But yeah, so it's nice to have a new guest and to give some people, you know, a little more props. Movies in the Man Cave that's actually a neat little show. I bomb the trivia quote question every week that I listen to it.
I'm not good
at trivia quotes.
Yeah, we usually have the same two guys answering the questions on Facebook and stuff, so it's all good.
Well, you got loyal listeners. That's good.
Exactly.
Thanks, Dad. So let's talk, first of all, let's talk about the first movie that's out, because there's three movies. I just say this with such exasperation. There's three movies. They screened one of them for me, not for Jared, because they don't screen movies in Fargo.
They got nothing.
You know, that's why they put me on the paper and the radio, because there's nobody local who sees them early. So the first one is Apollo 18. This is the totally true made-up story about the last man mission to the moon that totally happened but probably didn't.
We're go for the moon.
Loud and clear.
Take her down.
Houston, how does the motion sensor work?
You hear that?
Yeah. We've been experiencing unexplained malfunctions.
Look at this. Flag's gone.
Tracks. They aren't ours. They lead away from our site.
Do you have any interest in this movie?
I actually do. I just saw what I believe is the last trailer that they're going to come out with before it's released.
I hope so, because if you listen to it by now, it's actually in release now.
Yeah, good point. I don't know. I saw it, and it seems really cool. Kind of seems like it might be Blair Witchy in space.
Blair Witch in space.
just the two dudes up there. And something's attacking them or whatever.
Yeah, so. Something's happening on the moon. Were you at all convinced that it's real when you had Harvey Weinstein coming up? We got this footage and it's real. Wasn't he at Sundance talking about that? We have this footage and it's totally true.
I don't know why you would think it isn't. I mean,
even though you'll recognize the actor from shows like Alpha. it'd be nice. That's one of my complaints about Paranormal Activity 2 last year, is the main character in it. Well, she was she was on 24 and Sons of Anarchy and all this stuff, and you totally recognize her as an actor, and it's like the whole kind of part of the selling point of that first movie was you didn't know anybody.
Right.
So you could kind of put yourself in that mind frame, like, it could have happened.
Yeah, this could happen. This is legit. But yeah.
So it actually looks kind of okay.
Right.
You know, I mean, it could suck hard. It could be so bad.
Definitely good, yeah.
Then again, any movie can has that potential. Every film, that's what's so great. It's like children. Every child has the potential to be great, and every child also has the potential to be an absolute utter
terror
loser in life. And movies are the same way. And some movies achieve that excellence, and some movies turn into Pauly Shore. So,
hey, Pauly Shore was awesome in Biodome.
In Biodome. Biodome. That movie's like older than you are.
Hey, what are you talking about? Yeah, I watch that movie all the time in like first grade, so.
Oh, well, that's good, because that's such a... It was like that and like Mr. Rogers. And
right.
Do you even know who Mr. Rogers is? Did I just totally date myself?
No, I grew up Mr. Rogers and Sesame Street and all that.
Okay, good. Because, there was somebody I know on Twitter posted earlier this week, and they said, I'm going to party like it's 1999. I'm going to eat sugar cereal and get yelled at by my parents. and I'm like, I was married in 1999.
Yeah. So that's pretty freaky, man.
Anyways, we better go. Apollo 18 looks interesting, but it has to get a preemptive suck because they didn't show it to us.
That's right.
So I might mention it next week. Welcome back to Fat Guys at the Movies. We just talked about Apollo 18, which, like I said, I kind of want to see it. I'm gonna go see it.
Yeah.
I mean, I'll see it after this episode goes live. But
yeah, I'll see it in the cheap seats. So.
Yeah. It could be good. I don't know. I think it all depends on how long it is. I think it's only 90 minutes, which is good.
Oh yeah,
because this thing was like 2 hours and 12 minutes. It would have been like worse than The Karate Kid. So. let's talk about another movie,
mm-hmm.
which is Shark Night 3D.
Yes, sir.
Another one they didn't screen for us, just to let you know. And sharks make their way into a lake where they start munching on good-looking kids in bathing suits.
Hands up!
We are going up to Lake Crosby to Sarah Housky's house.
Are you ready for the lake?
Let's go! Somebody do something!
It's insane! This is a lake!
Saltwater lake.
I don't know how the hell they got in here.
Maybe someone put them there.
Now, I ask you, does this at all intrigue you?
You know, I was talking to Cody about it today, and it kind of does. Like, I was saying, if I had some spare cash laying around, I would probably go waste it on this movie.
Okay, we get it. Well, you're broke.
But
you're like, I'm going to the cheap seats if I had spare cash.
If I could afford it.
I got to go play my guitar down at the street corner.
What's wrong with that, man? No, I don't know. It looks terrible, but it looks like it was made to be terrible.
Yeah, well, it's directed by the guy who did, Russell. I forget. I'm blanking on it because, you know, I do such amazing prep for this show. The guy who did Snakes on a Plane, but he also did the Final Destination, which wasn't the final movie. It was number 4.
Right.
And he loves 3D, and that's cool. I'm a big 3D fan. I'm just not a big 3D ticket price fan.
No kidding.
So there are two big things that are attached to this movie. I'm not talking about Sarah Paxton's bikini. There's the 3D, and there's the PG-13 rating. What are your thoughts on this movie being rated PG-13? Not sight unseen, not seeing the movie.
Yeah.
Good or bad?
I guess for what I would be wanting to watch the movie for, it's pretty bad.
Mm-hmm.
I guess I would expect it to be kind of like the Piranha 3D.
Yeah.
In certain aspects, you know. And they can't really do that with PC.
Go ahead and say breasts. You want to see breasts on screen. Breasts in 3D. Yes, that's
exactly
what you're going for. Okay.
And lots and lots of gory shark attacks, blood and all that. So.
Mm-hmm. But here's the thing. I've mixed thoughts on this.
Yeah.
Because the director, it was well. When Snakes on a Plane came out, they went for the R rating. They went for the F-bomb.
Yep, yeah.
And the breasts in the beginning. And it was actually, I guess, the press that would, the powers that be suggested that it was a bad idea to go for the PG, to go for the R rating, because you cut out part of your audience, because even though a lot of theaters don't care and they'll just let anybody into anything,
mm-hmm.
and it's a multiplex, so you can be like, I like one for Winnie the Pooh. Oh, I snuck these 3D glasses in with me, so I'm going to go see Shark Night.
Exactly.
So there is that school of thought that says PG-13 movies do better at the box office. And the thing is with Shark Night, this is not art.
No.
I don't think anybody is approaching it as art.
No.
So it's purely a business venture. It's purely there to make money.
Yeah, it's not going to be at the Oscars, but
No, not at all.
Best picture.
Unless it's like what's a guy named David the tall skinny David Morse, isn't that his name? Or and he might be at the Oscars, but like in the dumpster. I like that guy though. But the whole thing is that it's a purely business venture, and if it's a purely business venture, what's wrong with letting the studio try and do it this way? Because Piranha 3D bombed.
Yeah.
I mean, hard. I think part of what killed Piranha 3D is the 3D. People were just like, well, it's just a stupid exploitation movie. Why should I pay $15 to see it?
Yeah.
And that was the first one that you saw last year that was really suffering from those prices. But, you know, hey, you know, Final Destination, that one did okay. It was in 3D. It was rated R. This last one was a softer opening. And then you had the whole Hatchet debacle where they went and they said, we're going for the unrated movie. And it lasted like 36 hours in the theater, and then they pulled it.
Right.
So, I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm curious to see it.
Yeah. But you're going in and expecting awful. Yeah. So
you're not going to get naked. You're not going to get naked breasts on the screen. You're not going to get super violent body parts. But here's the only thing that I hope with it. I hope that by being shackled with a 3D rating that was probably mandated by the studio, I'm hoping that it actually turns out to be a better film, because it's not just going for the splatterfest. It actually goes for the, you know, sort of that Jaws effect where, you know, it's you don't, what you don't see is more scary. But who knows?
And it might actually even tell a story. Who knows?
No, it's not going to do that. I'm sure that Sarah Paxton will be less sexual assault on her than Last House on the Left. That's pretty much the one thing I'm pretty sure. Unless the shark is played by, who was the guy from Last House on the Left? I forget his name. It would have been much more effective of a joke if I would have just threw down the guy's name, but he played in The Terminator. Whatever.
There you go.
Garrett something or other. Anyways, that one gets a preemptive suck. Now we got The Debt, which actually opened earlier this week on Wednesday. And this one, three old folks face the reality of what they did many years ago.
30 years ago, these three dared to confront an unimaginable evil. Their assignment had been to capture the surgeon of Birkenau, a man whose sadistic experiments left thousands disfigured or dead.
All right. I'm going to ask you again. Are you interested in this movie at all?
I haven't really paid much attention to it, aside from the fact that Helen Mirren's in it.
And she's hot.
And she is very hot.
I would totally do Helen Mirren, you know, liver spots and, you know, wrinkly cleavage and all.
Yeah, it's weird, man. I think Red did it for me.
Yeah, when she had that evening gown and the Gatling gun?
Yep.
Oh, man, she was so good looking there.
Yeah.
Go back and watch Calendar Girls. You're like, oh, Helen Mirren, and then suddenly she goes, boop, and then you see everything hanging out.
Dang.
Yeah, you're like, kablam!
Yeah.
Hello, the queen and her crowns. Thank you. Those are the queen's jewels. Before she did the queen.
Yeah, so hot Helen Mirren's all I got going for it. But,
she's not in it much, though. Actually, she really isn't. It's mostly told in flashbacks. Like, the entire movie's told in flashbacks. There's, like, flashbacks within flashbacks.
Sweet.
Which is completely stupid. Yeah. Jessica Chastain plays her when she's younger.
Okay.
And the whole story is it's these three Mossad agents who are going after this Nazi war criminal in East Berlin in like the mid-1960s, and it's told from, it's not the present, because it's told from like 1997 is when this is happening, because they'd be way too old now. and it's told, and it flashes back to 1965, I think is when it was, and it's them trying to crack down this criminal and bring him to justice, to take him to trial and have it go terribly wrong, and sort of the aftermath and what happens in the quote unquote present. But here's the problem. I hope that there aren't any Mossad agents who actually watch this movie.
Yeah.
Because it makes the Mossad agents look like completely unprofessional, brittle, emotionally brittle, whiny, wimpy, completely incompetent spies. They're so bad. It's like the three worst Mossad agents ever in the history of Mossad, in the history of Israel. They're the worst agents ever, because they just suck at their job. So bad. And it has Sam Worthington in it as one of the like sort of pseudo love interest. And I don't know who he's got photos of doing whatever. But how is this guy a star? Because he is the most bland actor ever. And somehow he like hit, it was like Clash of the Titans, Avatar, Terminator Salvation. And they're just like throwing movies at this guy saying, oh, more. We want more Sam Worthington. And the audience is like, it's not that I hate Sam Worthington. It's just, I really just don't care about him. I mean, he's sort of like cottage cheese. I'm not into it. You know, we got to go to a break, and I'll continue ranting about The Debt then.
Miles of hard road, 33 years of tough luck, 44 skulls buried in the ground, crawling down through the muck.
Oh, yeah.
Welcome back to Fat Guys at the Movies. This is
who are you? Who's talking?
Segment. This is Jared.
Oh, that's right. You're the co-host.
You know me.
I know you. You're that man cave guy.
Yeah.
Who like movies watches movies naked? Cave, he watches dude movies naked in his.
I don't know. I just it's Top Gun once.
Just Top Gun once. I was really drunk, and I was in college. We'll get to your love of Top Gun later, I'm sure.
Yeah. Oh, no, we will.
you know, I have a couple more things to say about the debt.
Yeah.
Did I make it clear about how just awful these Mossad agents were in this movie?
I don't know.
Because the whole thing is they're like, the movie opens with them coming back from them. It's like told completely out of order. And not in a good way. The way like a Quentin Tarantino movie is told out of order. No, this one's just told out of order. They get off the plane and they're like, and they're, you have this voiceover talking about them. They're like, oh, they're really impressive. And, you know, this guy was only 29 years old and this guy and this woman was only 25. And they're the greatest. They have the best at their hand to hand combat and all this kind of stuff. And they get on the mission and they're like hooking up like an episode of Grey's Anatomy.
Sweet.
Which is stupid because. You don't do that when you're on, like, a mission.
No, unless you're James Bond.
Well, yeah, but there's no emotion involved. It's just energy release, baby, you know. But they're terrible, terrible spies. They're awful spies. And they screw up their mission over and over and over again. And like when they have the guy, when they have the war criminal, and the fact that they capture him, because it's not a surprise, because it's like the first 5 minutes they go at the end of it, and they basically say, well, this is what happens at the end, and he's like, oh, he's in the apartment, okay, and he's there trying to like talk to him, and he's just like, oh, and he's like saying all this anti-Semitic thing to him, and they're like, oh, they're crying and they're mad at him and they're yelling, and you're just like. You are the worst spy ever. I mean, okay, fine. Your parents were killed in the Holocaust because they're all like at that age. They would have been like little kids during World War II. And right. So they've had, and that's not to downplay that stuff because that was some horrible shit that happened. World War II was, there were bad shit that happened in World War. I'm going on record saying the Nazis.
In case you did not know, the Nazis were a-holes.
The Nazis just. Fucked Europe. It just pulled its pants down, didn't even lick it. Just went right in for the gusto, Poland balls first, deep. Yeah. And so but these are the worst agents ever because he's like oh, and then the war criminal says like, oh, no wonder you guys were so easy to exterminate. And they're like, ah! They're crying. And I'm like, oh God, keep it together. You're supposed to be these like brilliant agents. You're like 13-year-old girls sent on a mission.
You're watching a Justin Bieber concert.
Yeah. Oh, it's and it just gets ridiculous. And they make stupid moves and decisions. Now, apparently, this is based on a movie. As far as I know, it's not true. So I apologize if I'm insulting anybody out there. But the original film. Was made, it was an Israeli film, and it was made in Hebrew, and they're remaking it, you know, obviously English language and German, because they're in Germany. But it's so stupid, and it has, I'm not going to give away the ending, because that would be unprofessional, but let's just say there's a hand-to-hand fight scene combat scene at the end of the movie that... Had I not known that this was a drama, would have been the funniest freaking ending of a movie ever.
Sweet.
Ever. It's so ridiculous.
Please tell me Helen Mirren's in the fight.
I'm not gonna give anything away. But you don't get to see her tits, which is also a bad thing. You also don't get to see Jessica Chastain's tits, which immediately brings it down a couple notches.
Are there any in the movie?
Any tits? There are a couple. Mm-hmm. No, that's another movie I saw today. Sorry, scratch that. There are no tits in this movie. that was on wikiporn.com.org that I was looking at earlier today.
We got a membership there.
It's a good thing. $29.95 a month.
Yeah.
Automatically billed discreetly as Internet Associates Inc. So when your wife's like, honey, what's this Internet Associates Inc. .com.org dot golden shower?
Golden shower, yeah. That's the plumber's bill.
Yeah, that's right. It's he's so good. He just it fixes it with it's like gold. He's got the Midas touch. He does all the wet work. Anyways, the debt sucks. It's bad. It was supposed to be buzzed about Oscar potential last year, yeah. And then they moved it to an August release. So,
bum, bum.
It sucks, and it's bad. So, and no boobs. But yeah, I would still totally have sex with Helen Mirren.
Oh yeah.
Oh, but she'd have to talk to me like the queen.
I was thinking she'd have to talk like Hobson and Arthur.
Oh, that would. Oh yeah, be like wash your winky.
Wash your winky. Yes, ma'am.
She would have
yes,
to like ma'am. Read like Frog and Toad. While we're doing it, you know. She'd be like, and Frog and Crow. Can you? Ouch! That's not quite. That's. Stretchy. Oh, I got a hair caught.
Read the last chapter, woman.
You know what it's like? I always thought this. Do you know who Jodie Benson is?
I don't think so.
She does the voice for the Little Mermaid. And
Oh.
And she also, in the Toy Story movie, she does the voice for the Barbie doll in the Toy Story sequels.
Yeah.
She's older now. She's like in her 50s, I think, or late 40s. So she's, but like when she did the Little Mermaid, she was probably in her 30s. And she's not unattractive. I mean, she's pretty. She's cute. I mean, she's probably one of those people who, if you met face to face, you'd be like, "Oh, you're pretty attractive." On TV, it doesn't quite capture, you know, because like when you get gorgeous people like Jessica Alba, they're just like, like sizzling gorgeous in real life. Like I've met some people like we were talking off the air about Firefly. I met Jewel State once, and she's cute on like Firefly and Stargate Atlantis. She is freaking adorable.
Yeah, man. I follow her on Twitter as well, and a lot of her posts are just like, I want to hug this chick.
You just want to like touch her face and just then get arrested. And there'd be nothing bad. It would just be the hand touching. You just want to, oh. But, I mean, that's and Jewel State's a great example of that. If somebody who is, she's cute on TV, but she's actually prettier in real life. The camera does some weird things to some people's faces. So Jodie Benson, I think, is probably better, more attractive in real life. And I always thought, because she was married, and I always wondered if, like, when she's, like, having sex with her husband, if he's like, talk to me like the Little Mermaid. Be like...
He totally does. You know.
Or something like that. And then it would be great if she could like do an Ursula impression. And just in the middle of like singing out her chorus of orgasm, she could be like, oh, and you're like, ah, these poor unfortunate souls. And he just loses wood like that and it shrivel up and go inside of him.
Yeah. Probably ask her to call it a dingle hopper all the time.
A fluke snarfblat. Ooh, let me put my dingle harper in your dingle hopper in your snarf blat.
Tonight, I think we're gonna use what do you call them feet?
That's the other. That's discreetly billed by Internet Associates Inc. as well. Anyways, where do we get on that subject? Jesus,
Helen Mirren.
Helen Mirren talking dirty during sex. Delish. Let's talk box office. Let's get the hell out of that segment because that's gonna get all my Disney privileges revoked. I'm sorry.
Sorry about that.
Sorry, Disney. So here's the thing. Did you? Well, you're in Fargo, so you probably had gorgeous weather this weekend.
Yeah, sure.
I mean, it was just gorgeous in Columbus, Ohio. Everyone's like, oh, storm this, storm that. And I'm like, it's great here. I don't know what everyone's talking about. Hurricane Schmurricane.
Exactly.
But yeah, the whole thing is that the big news, of course, obviously Hurricane Irene came up through and then went down to a tropical storm and then went up into Canada and got some poutine and then went out into the Labrador Sea. But you've had poutine. You're close enough to Canada to know what poutine is, aren't you?
I've never been up to Canada.
Really? So.
Sorry.
You're like right there, man.
I know, it's like an hour away.
That's like being in like Washington, let's growing up in Washington D.C. and never have gone to like the Vietnam Memorial or something. Not to put Canada on the level of the Vietnam.
I don't think Canada's on.
Not to equate the Vietnam Memorial, which honors hundreds of thousands of fallen soldiers, to like gravy and fries. I do apologize. Yeah, exactly. Once again.
Canada, the greatest thing since the Vietnam Memorial.
Yes. But anyways, they had there was the Hurricane Irene, and, you know, I feel bad for the people who were impacted by that, you know, especially South Carolina, North Carolina, and there were deaths involved. And of course, some of them were stupid deaths. I think I can go out on a limb and say that the ones that are tragic, like there was one where a tree fell through a roof and killed a kid, and you feel bad about it. You're like, oh, that's terrible. And like, but like the first death that was recorded was a guy who was hit by a limb, but he was outside.
Right. What are you doing outside in a hurricane?
Why are you? And then, and you know, the other another one that I'm just like, this guy, this was right there on the Darwin list. It was a surfer who was surfing the waves in Florida, who was like 55 years old, and he drowned
during the hurricane.
Because he was surfing during a hurricane. I mean, it's just like when a Buick comes and knocks you off your surfboard.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, not to belittle the people who are just honestly, you know, just were in the wrong place at the wrong time. But if you put yourself knowingly and made effort to get into that wrong place at the wrong time, I don't have sympathy for those people. But, you know, for the kids and that sort of thing, it's sad.
Yep.
But it also caused a shutdown of movie theaters. And they said as many as 1,000 movie theaters, 1,000 screens were affected. And then everyone's like, oh, it's the impact of the box office. And I'm like, you know, I think part of the problem was they had like Columbiana and Our Idiot Brother. I blame those more than I blame Hurricane Irene.
No kidding.
Because here's the thing. The Help deal still did pretty damn good.
Yeah.
It dropped 27%, which is, if honestly, if Irene had that much of an impact on movie theaters, The Help would not have done 14.
No.
million. So, yeah.
No.
Yeah. I did like Don't Be Afraid of Dark. Did you see any of the new movies this week?
I did not remember on the Jeep.
You were enjoying the weather.
No, Don't Be Afraid of the Dark looks really sweet, so I'll probably end up seeing that. You know.
Yeah, I did like it a lot. I finally got a chance to check it out, and I really enjoyed it. Although it is a bit of a metaphor. When you watch it, think of it as a metaphor for Katie Holmes' relationship with Tom Cruise.
Okay.
You know, the little creatures, nobody believes they exist. And that's they represent love in the beginning because nobody believes it exists. And then they're jumping on couches, you know, and then they represent the paparazzi who just won't leave him alone. And then just the insanity kicks in. But no, it's good. Did you see Insidious? Are you a big horror movie fan?
I am a fan, but I did not catch Insidious. I that's just because I'm lazy.
Yeah, well, that's okay. No, it's not. What are you doing on the show? Go show it in your man cave. You got to watch Insidious. Part of the thing that I loved about Don't Be Afraid of the Dark, it was all atmosphere. And when I walked out of it, they had there's the manager. I knew the manager, and he said, "Well, what'd you think?" And I go, "I loved it. I thought it was great." And this guy, he was like 20. He was in college because it was at a campus movie theater. And he's like, "It could have been scarier." Well, this is somebody who grew up with the Saw movies. And that guy was like 12 when the first Saw came out. He's like, if it doesn't have torture in it, it's not scary.
So. Yeah. Yeah, I'm not a big Saw fan. Yeah. I'm more of a make you think and scare the crap out of you that way.
Yeah, it gets in your head. Well, because the whole thing is it's like little things that are in your closet. It's under your bed. It talks to a child and nobody believes her.
Jesus.
Take your children to this movie.
Yeah.
It will fuck them up for life.
You know, your kids sleeping with you for the rest of your life.
And they make it even worse. They're like, part of the thing is the creatures eat teeth. And again, this isn't a spoiler because like in the first scene, you find out that he needs to get teeth for the kid, for the creatures. And they want children's teeth. So there's like sort of that tooth fairy tie-in.
Yeah.
So it just makes it even worse. So I say, and I want them to put that on the cover box. The quote will be on the DVD. Take your kids to this movie because it will fuck them up for life. Kevin Carr.
Kevin Carr.
But sadly, it didn't do well. But I didn't think it was going to do well. It's not a mainstream kind of movie.
No.
Our 80 brother tanked five, came in the fifth. Although, you know what? It only cost $5 million to make, so it actually might clear.
There you go.
Columbiana made only 10, and that movie was awful.
Yeah, that doesn't look good at all.
You know what the problem? It had the logic and physics of Birdemic, in the sense that nothing could have happened in this movie. The opening sequence, not the opening sequence, because they take like 20 minutes to actually get to her as an adult. But the first sequence with her as an adult, her whole thing is she's sneaking into this. She finds a way to get in this jail because they're bringing in a prisoner, and she's going to assassinate him.
Okay.
So she pretends she's drunk, crashes into a police car, and of course they put her in this jail. How she knew that she was going to go in this exact cell, in this exact jail, in this exact spring, and also knew for a fact that this guy was coming in early to be there, and she knew that they wouldn't at all search her, or, you know, because they didn't search her, they just put her in the drunk tank. And she had this wig. It was kind of like those. Did you ever watch the Super Globetrotters?
The what?
It was an old cartoon. It's a little before your time. Where the Globetrotters were superheroes.
That sounds awesome.
And like Curly Neal would turn into a giant basketball because he was bald and turn and bounce around. And I forget who it was. It was one of the old 70s Globetrotters. He'd have this huge afro and anything he wanted came out. It was like a TARDIS. He'd just pull the most ridiculous. He'd be like, pull a shark out because he needed a shark. What do you need a shark for? Who knows? But it was in there.
Exactly.
And so she has this wig that has like, it's like, again, it's like she has a TARDIS on her head and just pulling things out. And she gets in and she changes clothes into this really sleek suit, which she looks awesome in. Yeah, she's got a fantastic body. But then like the guard brings her a cup of coffee and leaves a spoon in it. She takes the spoon and she uses the spoon to disable the ventilation system. Because of course the ventilation shafts are the size of a Volkswagen, so she can crawl through it. And my thing is if you went through this trouble to know exactly where you're going to be and you got this TARDIS wig and you knew when the guy was coming in early and you have this special suit you made and all this stuff, why did you rely on just the chance that she would give you a spoon? Your entire plan hinges on that.
Yeah.
Why did you just bring a spoon with you?
Exactly. You get the coffee. Could I have a spoon?
Yeah, be like, oh, wait, shit, she's gone. Well, this is not going to work. I'm stuck here until tomorrow morning. So it just makes no sense. And there's like a scene where she's like having this hand-to-hand combat with this guy. And Zoe Saldana looks like, I mean, I've had bowel movements bigger than Zoe Saldana. Granted, I'm sure she's much more pleasant to be around.
Maybe.
But she's like 87 pounds soaking wet. And there's this guy who's a good 240 pound guy, and she's throwing him around, and I'm like, this is just not physically possible. There's inertia.
Yeah.
It was so stupid.
Yeah, that didn't look good at all.
That was so bad. So that one did. And so The Help won again, and then Rise of the Planet of the Apes came in third. Again, that one is still cranking out the green, and it wasn't at all marred by Hurricane Irene.
By Irene, right. Yeah.
Anyway, what do you think is going to win this weekend? This is a tough weekend.
I'm throwing all my chips at Shark Night 3. No, I can't even say
that. Are you? I mean, who knows? God, no. What's going to happen?
I'd probably have to say that The Help will probably win again. Just because there's Jack. Because
everything else is awful. I think you're right, actually. Because here's the thing. I think The Debt may have had a chance, but it opens on Wednesday. So, and actually, The American, which was last year's Labor Day movie, it like won with like $13 or $14 million for the three-day weekend.
Right.
And sort of Monday's not, doesn't really count. Because even though it's a holiday weekend, nothing does well on Labor Day.
No.
But the Help will probably come in with about 10 million or 11 million next weekend for Friday, Saturday, Sunday. And The Debt could have done it were to open on Friday, but it's going to get some of its audience on Monday and Tuesday, and so Friday's not its opening day.
Right.
So it's going to be a softer weekend. And I think Apollo 18 is just going to be lost. I mean,
yeah.
That's like 6-7 million.
Yeah.
And then the last one is Shark Night, which I don't think is going to do well because the higher 3D ticket prices are keeping people away. I mean, people didn't go see Spy Kids. People didn't go see Conan. People didn't go see Fright Night. People didn't go see Final Destination 5. They didn't throw a lot of money at those because just 3D ticket prices are too expensive. Not in this, you know. And they're talking about another impending recession. So, of course, people are going to be like, well, I'll wait, you know.
Yep.
And you're not going to get your horror crowd out to see it because they're pissed off because it's not R-rated.
Right.
And the high school crowd, I don't think, is going to see it because they'll just download it.
Damn kids these days.
Damn whippersnappers. So, yeah, I'm saying it's going to be The Help, The Debt, Planet of the Apes, and everything else. So that is my prediction. And I think we're probably on the same page with that, aren't we?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. So next, we've got a Fat Guy 5 to do.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. This one is 5 cool monsters from the real world. Basically in the sense that these are things that exist and Hollywood doesn't need to do anything to them to make them any more terrifying than they already are.
Right, exactly.
It's sort of like a lion in your living room. That's horrifying.
I'm crapping my pants.
Yeah, just pooping, hoping that it scares it away. Hoping it's just to be like, oh, I'm going to eat that. And the first one, of course, is inspired by Shark Night. Because there's nothing, and this is the first one, Jaws. Jaws on the list. Because there's nothing you need to do to make a shark more terrifying than it already is.
Nope.
It is the scariest fucking thing in the ocean.
It's true. That's so true.
I mean, it is so horrifying. And it's like even a Jaws, they'd be like, oh, it's a 20-foot shark. And you're just like, I don't care if it's an 8-foot shark. Any foot shark. Maybe maybe if it was like 6 inches long, I could deal with it.
I've seen even videos on like Shark Week of like a freaking like 3-foot long shark that's biting someone's face off.
Those don't. Have you watched the footage? Wasn't there a shark that got washed onto the street and it was swimming through the streets of Puerto Rico?
What?
I had heard that. I never clicked on it because I was afraid it was going to be some sort of. I don't even know if it's real. I saw posts on it, but I didn't click on it because I was afraid it was going to be a virus.
Because sounds awesome.
Because back during the tsunami, there was a viral. Literally a virus, not wasn't a viral video. It was a virus, and it would hijack your Facebook page. And it was supposed to be this whale that got beached during the tsunami. And it's not a real thing, but I'd heard that there was a shark that was just swimming around the streets of Puerto Rico because they flooded.
Sweet.
That would be freaking terrifying.
That would be bad.
Could you imagine how awful it would be to be just sitting there and your house floods? And you're still there because you're going to like, okay. And then a shark comes in.
Yeah. Just shark comes rolling in.
Yeah. Hey, what's up?
What's going on in here, guys?
You got any beer? Anagram. There's nothing you could do for sharks to make them any more terrifying.
No.
Like freaking laser beams on their head. I would still be afraid of just regular sharks.
Yep.
So... the next one, actually, why don't you do the fourth one down, since that one's yours.
Fourth one down.
Yeah, we're just doing these out of order, because it's just thought of it. You haven't even said it.
What it is. I know. The fourth one on our list, the second.
God, whatever. You're freaking out already.
I know. It's take a Ritalin. Frickin' spiders, man. Spiders. They don't have to be giant spiders. A spider the size of, like, you know, freaking pin will scare the crap out of me.
Really? Do you make your wife kill spiders in the house? Do you scream like a little girl?
I refuse to answer that question.
She's like, ow.
Yeah, man, I had a buddy over one time and there was like this itty bitty baby spider. I freeze, man. Oh. I am so arachnophobic. And he just walks up and squishes it with his thumb. I'm like, how the hell did you do that?
I don't kill spiders in that. If they're just house spiders, you know, those little like, brown ones you get, those little like almost translucent brown ones.
What?
I don't know. They kill other bugs.
I don't care. Other bugs kill other bugs too.
You have these homicidal roaches that come around and kill each other all the time.
Joe's apartment, man. I can deal with roaches.
No, I hate roaches. But no, you're right. Spiders are terrifying. There's a what's funny is in Ohio, I'm sure you have them because they're all over the place. There's these things called garden spiders, and they're big fucking spiders. They're like, you know, you could like set it on top of a beer can and their legs would be hanging over the edges.
Yeah.
And it's like yellow and black, and they're scary looking things, but they're just regular old spiders. They get bugs, and that's it. Man. But
my worst experience with spiders is whenever I'm like going to take a piss and you just see a spider sitting there, it's like, you're helpless. I'm not going to run away taking
a pee. You know what the spider's thinking? To be like, oh, you know what? I'm having a great time here on the toilet. All of a sudden, here comes this guy wagging his dick around, spraying, then he pees on me. I'm like, what the hell?
I did not
pay $29.95 through Internet Associates every month for this. So like, if I were to say something to you, like, your fear, your arachnophobia is so extreme. If I were to be like, what would it be like to take about 50 spiders and put them in your pants? See, you already, I just heard you. You probably shivered, didn't you?
Dude, you just had to say 50 spiders and I'm like passing out.
50 spiders in your pants. I don't care. It's like a 50-foot shark or a 10-foot shark.
Yeah.
What about sea spiders?
Sea spiders? North Dakota, I don't have sea spiders.
That's true. You are in North Dakota. You don't have seas. I think you're about physically as far away from any ocean.
Either ocean.
On the planet. Because you've got all of Canada, America on all four sides. So
as landlocked as you get, man.
That's right. All right, well, we'll stay away from your spiders. The next one is Anaconda. Which, of course, are giant snakes, but just Anaconda. Let's talk about the Anaconda movies.
They made more than one of those?
Yeah, they made three of them. You know who stars in the third one? David Hasselhoff.
No way.
I reviewed it on filmschoolrejects.com. You can check it out, yes. Here's the thing. Snakes, I'm not scared of snakes necessarily.
Yeah.
But Anacondas, you don't have to do anything to make them more terrifying than what they are. They are huge constrictors that will kill you and eat you alive.
Yeah, they'll swallow you whole.
Yes.
Yeah. I'm not terrified of snakes as I am spiders. Like, I'll go to the pet store and be like, oh, sweet, a big-ass snake, you know? Yeah. And it's more intriguing, but I would never want to be, you know, without something between us.
You wouldn't want to be, like, sleeping in the jungle.
Oh, God, no.
And wake up, and there's a giant anaconda right in your face.
Yeah. Oh, God.
Because then it would squeeze around. Because the thing is, they constrict you, and you can't get away. Mm-hmm. And with anacondas, or Burmese python, which is the biggest python, they're so heavy. I do know my snakes. We had, at one time, I think we had in Columbus the biggest python on the planet.
Sweet.
And I think it died. Its name was Fluffy. It was adorable. it was at the Columbus Zoo on loan from...
The kids love it.
They did, yeah. Yes, anacondas... What was funny is I think anacondas weigh more. I think they're heavier snakes, but the Burmese python's longer.
Gotcha.
Because anacondas are thick. I mean, they're like just this giant sausage. Killer sausage.
Killer sausage, yeah.
So let's move on to the next one. You take that's the one that's right under your spiders on the list.
Under spiders, lab apes.
Yes.
So.
Because they exist. They may not be like super smart.
Not super smart, but man, they'll F you up.
You can say fuck you up. They will fuck you up for life.
My grandma might be listening. I can't.
If she's listening, she's not listening now. If she was listening, she's not listening now. Trust me.
Long during the effing Helen Mirren stuff, she tuned out.
She's just like, I can't watch The Little Mermaid now without thinking of golden showers and snarf flats.
Jesus.
You're like, oh, she's so not listening.
No.
Either that or she's listening. She's like, damn right. Those snakes are fucking terrifying.
That shit is effed up.
So laboratory apes. Yeah, like something like 28 Days Later.
Yeah. You know, monkeys and or apes or whatever, to me, they kind of scare the crap out of me to begin with. Mm-hmm. And then, I mean, you start messing with their head, give them some effed up drugs or a virus.
Well, you know, most people have a completely distorted view of like, say, chimpanzees. Because they think, oh, they're cute or whatever. But what you see in, like, Bedtime from Bonzo and that kind of stuff and on movies, they're young apes. They're like children.
Yeah.
And when apes get old,
they tear your face off.
You know what they go for? Because this is true. These are stories that they come out all the time. My aunt's a big fan of these stories because she always says, she's like, I love the fact when you have these stories that come out and they find out the animals are just as shitty to each other and us as we are to ourselves. There's nothing noble about animals. They're assholes.
Yeah.
And she loves these stories where somebody has owns an ape, you know, owns a chimpanzee and takes care of it like their child because they're a psychotic.
Right.
And then inevitably, what's the story? They were attacked.
Big surprise.
First of all, apes are like four times as strong as human beings.
Right.
Just naturally. They don't have to work out to get that point. They are just naturally that much stronger. And do you know what they go for first? The first thing when an ape gets mad at you, know what it goes for?
Your face.
The eyes and and the genitals.
Oh.
Those are the first two. They will ignore everything else, and they will tear your eyes out, tear your face off, and rip your genitals off.
They know how to mess someone up.
My wife just gave me a really odd look. She's like, what are you talking about? I'm like, we're recording something for PBS. it's for Sesame Street.
They're introducing a new character.
A new character that rips people's genitals off. It's a chimpanzee named Old Zeke. He's 87 years old, but he does that genital ripping like better than any other Muppet on the planet.
They start freaking Elmo's World. Hey, we got a guest.
Elmo's World. Oh my God, my genitals. I think Elmo's already lost.
My eyes.
I think he lost his genitals a long time ago. He would be totally safe.
Dude, have you ever seen the guy that voices Elmo?
No, but I hear he did a whole bunch of interviews during the TCA. Because doesn't he have a movie coming out?
I don't know about
that. I think he does.
He's a big black man.
Yeah? Well, wait, wasn't the guy who did Carol Spinney, wasn't he a big black dude who did Big Bird? I think he's dead now. I mean, the original Big Bird.
I thought that was like some old hippie.
Well, they're all old hippies for crying out loud. It's the Muppets for crying. Jeez.
Oh man.
Yeah. Well.
So yeah. Lab apes settle.
Lab apes
gouge your eyes out and rape you.
They will. Yeah. Well. If they're bonobos, maybe, because they like that sort of thing. Anyways. Speaking of rape. No, we're not. speaking of lab monkeys. Here's something else that's terrifying. The movie Outbreak, when Outbreak came out, it was a big thing because they had an Ebola burst, what do they call it now? They had an outbreak actually in Africa.
Yeah.
And here's the thing, they made it a fake virus in the movie Outbreak, but I'm like, the Ebola virus is terrifying enough. The only thing is it is not airborne. And that's all they did to change it. It was basically the Ebola virus that went airborne. But here's the thing. This is actually the reality behind Ebola. If you track the outbreaks, one of the Ebola virus outbreaks in Africa, it was, I think in the 70s, was actually airborne, only it did not affect humans. It just affected primates, chimpanzees and monkeys. So it goes airborne sometimes.
Yeah.
This is real shit that happens. So why do you even have to make it even worse in a movie? It's terrifying enough. It liquefies your internal organs. It will seek out your family and rape them.
One by one.
It will delete all of your credit card data and wipe your hard drive on your computer, and it will steal your identity. And buy
it's going to go on a bunch of
Persian rugs,
random porn sites and claim to be you.
Oh, yeah. Send spam to all your friends. And it will kill you. So there's no reason. It
doesn't get much worse than that.
No, I mean, there's nothing. The Ebola virus is the worst thing ever. It is the single biggest I fucked up from God. It is that one thing that that, you know, the great Lord among us was like, yeah.
My bad.
I should not have made that. Because it's just, you know, like the worst thing imaginable. It's like, what? Let's see. If you put like people in a room and said, come up with a virus that's the worst thing imaginable. And they'd be like, well, it's going to like make you sick and you'll throw up a lot. And they'd be like, we have a virus that liquefies your internal organs, makes you bleed out of your ass and shit your liver out of your ass.
And literally forces you to eat your liver again.
Yes. And then
just to shit it again.
And will like tie your family up and punch them in the face. And then everybody in the room would be like, yeah, we got nothing on that.
Yep.
So, yeah.
Ebola out. What?
Ebola. Yeah, that is the most terrifying thing on the planet. If it had a... It, we don't be even more terrifying. If you had a shark infected with Ebola that could swim in air. So it could just come out of the... It just fly into your house, yep, and eat you.
He just rolls in. What up, bitches?
Kablam! I'm going to eat you and your little dog, too. And there'd be nothing you could do about it. So yeah, real world. There's some. You don't need to have like Wookalars, and you don't have to have Dracula and sparkly vampires.
Sparkly, yeah.
Fucking sharks in the ocean.
Maybe if it was a sparkly shark, that'd be cool.
That would still be terrifying with like big hair, like Edward Cullen, and it just like come on the shore and be like, "Oh, I love you so much. I want to court you." It's really creepy because I'm like 110 years old and you're 16. Wanna not have sex?
Let's have sex anyway. Bam, you got Ebola.
I have Ebola. Right there in your vag. Are we done? Is your grandma still listening?
I don't know. I think she left a while ago.
I hope not. Joe, we're going to get a call next week and it'll be your grandmother being, oh, I love the show. I agree. Ebola.
Helen Mirren is sexy.
Oh, Ebola is terrifying. Although I do Helen Mirren if I didn't have to do Ebola. I don't know what that is. It doesn't even sound like your grandmother, I'm pretty sure.
It's pretty close.
Was it really?
No. She's like, come over here, give me a kiss, J-Rad.
Yep.
All right, we better go. When we come back, we'll do our last segment and get you out of here. Welcome back to Fat Guys of the Movies. Yeah, I think we offended Jared's grandmother in that internet-only segment. He claims that she was listening, but I'm pretty sure she's not listening now.
I apologize, Grandma.
There's a reason it's internet-only. If you're a big fan of Helen Mirren or The Little Mermaid or Anacondas or Sharks,
yep,
do not go back and listen to that segment because we offend everybody with that.
We covered all bases on that one.
But now we have something else. What's coming up next here, Jared?
I believe next is the world-famous DVD Roundup.
Thank you. Great lead-in.
Thank you.
Some people I really have to explain that to, and they're just like, what?
They have clearly never listened to the show.
I'm like, you just don't, you didn't do your due diligence, did you? Like, well, I got through the third segment, but then it got really offensive, and I turned it off.
I got to the part, yeah.
So let's start with you. What are the movies that you want to highlight on, or TV shows on DVD this week?
TV shows, I guess we'd go with Parenthood. Season 2 is coming out.
You a big fan of that?
I am, actually. It's one of those shows I don't usually get around to watching too much TV because I usually don't catch it in time. Yeah. But this was one of those where I, you know, caught the first season and stuck through it and everything. So I really dig it.
Oh, good, good. Yeah, Meryl Barr from The Idiot Boxer has always said great things about this show, but I haven't checked it out. I hear it's good, though. What else do we got?
One of my personal favorites coming out on Blu-ray is Top Gun.
That's right. We're going to talk about your unnatural love for Top Gun.
It's not. It's totally natural.
Top Gun is an 80s classic. We'll just leave it at that.
Yeah. And also on Blu-ray, Good Will Hunting. That's Robin right. Williams, Matt Damon. Great movie.
I was not a big fan of this movie.
Oh, I loved it.
Really?
Yep.
Somebody won an Oscar for it.
It did things. I don't know.
I think it was Matt Damon. But yeah, this is the first time it's on Blu-ray, so check that one out. A couple other ones, just sort of like for paperwork purposes. You got Prom. Mm-hmm. If you missed that one during prom season, you can check that out. That's a Disney movie. There's also Nikita Season 1, which is the show from the CW. iCarly Season 3, which is a great show. Sons of Anarchy Season 3, which is not their best season, but it's got some decent parts to it.
Nice.
Vampire Diaries Season 2.
Ooh.
If you want that, you know, I'm a vampire.
Aww.
Oh, you're so beautiful, but I want to kill you.
I'm torn between love and killing.
There's also the Coen Brothers box set, which is, you know what one of the movies is in this box set?
What's that?
Fargo.
Fargo, yeah.
Fargo.
Which actually it doesn't take place here, but...
It doesn't take place in Fargo. It takes place in... Somewhere in is it in Minnesota?
It's in Minnesota.
It's in Brainerd, yeah. Isn't it?
Brainerd, yep.
Yeah.
Or Brainerd, as they say.
Brainerd. But yeah, that one's we talked about that last week with Marco Cerritos. So we won't talk much more about that. But it's Blood Simple and Miller's Crossing, Fargo, and I forget what the other one is. It's one of their earlier ones.
Yeah.
But yeah, Coen Brothers always rock. There's also Nightmare Before Christmas. In 3D, the 3D Blu-ray is out. This was actually one of the earlier converted films years ago, actually. You know, four years ago, I think. And actually, I've seen it in 3D in the theater, and it looks pretty good.
Yeah, it's really good.
I just love this movie. It comes out a version of it every year in a different packaging. I think they did the Blu-ray last year, and the year before that, they did the box set DVD. So this is just such a fantastic film. So if you don't already own it, buy this, because then it'll be at least available for the next iteration of home video.
Yeah.
There's also House Season 7, which is a good show.
Very good.
Definitely
show.
Check that one out. And I think the only thing I got left to mention is Cougar Town Season 2, which, do you watch Cougar Town?
I do not.
Did you watch Scrubs?
Yes.
Did you like Scrubs?
Yeah, it was good.
Yeah, it's done by the same people. So it has this... It's not what it originally started out as, which is kind of a dumb series, and it's become, it's just kind of like a Scrubs for people in their 40s, about people in their 40s. It's a funny show. It's definitely worth checking out. It actually had a crossover in the season finale two-parter where Ahmed from Community shows up in the middle of the episode.
Huh, sweet.
Which is really cool. And then for Stinker is Desperate Housewives Season 7. I tried to keep it off because... I got to give the tip the hat to Disney and ABC, but wow, it was not a good season for Desperate Housewives.
I personally didn't find any season to be good.
The first season was okay. They've had their water skis on and they're going up that ramp. I think they've jumped the shark actually like in season 5. So, anyways, the review wrap up Apollo 13 and Sharknado 3D get preemptive suck because, well, they didn't show it to us, and The Debt just earned its own suck. Next week we have Contagion, another like real life thing that the movie's not going to make it any scarier than Infection.
Yeah.
Warrior, and then Bucky Larson, Born to Be a Star, starring Nick Swardson. Interesting note, I knew somebody who was doing the junket for this. They wouldn't even show the movie to junket press.
Really?
They had to do interviews without actually seeing the movie.
Sweet.
Which is a bad sign. I mean, this is like Master of Disguise bad sign. So, real quick contact info, Fat Guys in the Movies. Jared, tell us where you can get us, because we have about 30 seconds left.
Facebook.com/moviesinthemancave or Twitter.com/mancavemovies.
Oh my gosh, you're mixing it all up. Did they not have Movies in the Man Cave for Twitter, or was it too long?
It was too long.
That's what she said.
Hey!
So anyways, you can get us, like you said, Fat Guys in the Movies. You can go to Fat Guys Network on Twitter, and you can go to facebook.com/FGATM. Jared, thank you for sitting in this week and talking about movies.
Thank you for having me, man.
That you haven't seen. And we'll be sure to do it again.
Yeah, definitely.